in these lines in the letter to the Hebrews, which we've been considering day by day, these are the first 10 verses of chapter 5, is contained in a way the interior heart of the whole passion process. And it also recounts our Lord's ordination. Remember, we've had this before, that I only had to mention it before. God rendered him perfect. That means made him a priest. There's a phrase in the Old Testament to fill the hand, mile yadayim, and it means to give the priest something to offer, and that's what ordains him a priest. Well, that didn't make any sense in Greek, so they changed it to perfect him, give him the fullness, give him all that he needs. And one of the, so there's the meaning I mentioned before, there's the meaning of to bring to a moral perfection, to bring to the fullness of his vocation, and to ordain him. God did that, huh? With Jesus. Here we have the other part of that. The first part describes what a priest is. Every high priest is taken from among men to represent them before God and to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to be patient with the ignorant and the erring, for he himself is beset by weakness. And for this reason, he must make sin offerings for himself as well as for the people. Now, no one takes this honor upon himself, but only the one called by God, just as Aaron was. So now you have the qualities and of a high priest, and how he becomes high priest, and also who he is. Though he's the high priest, he himself is beset with weakness and sin, so he must offer sacrifices for himself as well. Now it goes on. In the same way, it was not Christ who glorified himself in becoming high priest. So he, our author, trying to explain and open for us a mystery. When the saints have gazed into this, they have been overwhelmed at the thought and the sight of the mercy of God and the depth to which God himself went to bring us back to eternal life. So in the same way, it was not Christ who glorified himself, but rather the one who said to him. And now we have the words of ordination. First, and these are the words God the Father pronounced. This is the oracle of God the Father over the dead body of his Son. First, the resurrection. You are my Son. This day I have begotten you. That is the day of the resurrection. It's taken from Psalm 2, where it is that oracle whereby the king becomes in a special way the Son of God. Not the Son of God like Jesus is Son of God, but this, he becomes the Son of God. He becomes in a particular way God's heir, God's representative, God's... And so everyone recognizes this. In fact, those words are frequently cited in the New Testament as a way of describing the resurrection. The other one is new. Only here do we hear the other part of this oracle of the Father that went out and shook the universe. You are my Son. This day I break all the bonds of death and darkness, all the bonds of sin. You rise from the dead. You are the Lord of the universe. You are my Son. And then, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And now he enters into his priesthood. At that moment of his resurrection. That's why he's always living, making intercession for us. Because he was given something to offer, his hands were filled, that is his own life. And he gave himself, not other animals, not himself. And that brings all of that sacrificial system of over a millennium, you know, given by God to the people, to its perfection. It wasn't long afterwards that the other system was abolished by the Romans conquering and destroying the temple, and it's never been revived. So here is the new one. And now we have the mystery of the interiority. Because you see, the priesthood of Jesus Christ is in his heart. That's why he shows us his heart. That's why he showed Margaret Mary his heart. In the days of his flesh, when he was among us in flesh, weak, mortal, lonely, tired, rejected, isolation. If there is a word that characterizes what is going on here, it is isolation. And now what he does, he talks about the agony in the garden, where Jesus accepted the fullness of his vocation and it went on with it. But this is the turning point. In the days of his flesh, he offered prayers and supplications. Other priests offer gifts and sacrifices. This one offers prayers and supplications from his own heart with loud cries and tears. This is wrenching him. He's in isolation there before the Father. No one. Even when he asked the disciples to stick with him, they didn't. So there he is, you see, with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. Who can save from death? Only God. Only the Father. There is a blessing in the Jewish prayer, daily prayer, you know, the 18 blessings, and one of them is that you give life to the dead. Every day Jesus prayed that. Every day he said to the Father, you know, Baruch atah, blessed are you, O Lord, you give life to the dead. And he knew what he was saying. And he was heard because of his reverence. He was heard because of his yielding. The death, he was heard. Was he heard? Of course he was heard. Where is he now? Was he saved from death? Yes. But you've got to remember that the he there is not just Jesus. It's us. The prayer he prayed at that moment gathered up the whole human race to be saved from eternal death. And he was heard because of his reverence, because of his submission, would be better. Son though he was. Son. That goes back to the opening of the letter, right? Gave him a name that is grave, any other name. Son. What it means as applied to Jesus is ineffable. It's divine. Son though he was. He learned obedience from what he suffered. We're talking about God. God learned? Yes, he learned. He experienced in his own flesh what obedience really is. In John he says, the world must know that I love the Father and that I do exactly as he gave me command. Rise now, let us go from here to his passion. Obedience, obedience to the Father. I don't move a muscle unless I see the Father doing it. Obedience. And when he was made perfect, those three aspects of perfect, now he is made perfect. Now he is our priest. He became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. That's his priesthood. He exercises it all day, all night, forever. And it becomes concentrated right here on this altar, where there he is, present again, fixed forever in the glorious act of love in which he died. And we are invited to enter into that priesthood to give ourselves to God the Father in the same way, in obedience and trust. What it might cost, yeah. Like it cost him. Supplications, loud cries, and tears. But he, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the source of salvation for all who obey him.